Well, you and I are the light of the world. I'm standing here today because I believe the church is the hope of the world. These pews represent the hope to a lost and hurting and dark world. And it's not the pews themselves, but it's the people in the pews, you and me. And we've seen that exaltation, worshiping God with our lives, brings light to a dark world. Evangelism, seeing every encounter as a divine appointment by God to point everyone we lock eyes with to Christ, whether in word or deed, that brings hope to a lost and hurting world. And encouragement, going through this together, living life in community, having relationships that we share everything with, sharing our resources together, that models light and hope to a lost and hurting world. Today we're going to look at a fourth element that brings hope and light to our world. Let's take a look.
They say we need to be equipped, clearly taught to uniquely serve. Now, if I understand that right, that means that we all have a unique purpose in God's divine plan. We each play a role in the body of Christ. Some of us are hands, some are feet, some are eyes or ears. But me, where do I fit? I never went to college. I'm no Bible scholar. I don't know enough about the Bible to teach an adult Bible class. And I'm not cut out for children's ministries. I don't like kids. Well, I don't. I don't have the patience I used to for kids. Oh, don't get me wrong. I've raised three boys and a daughter, and I help out with the grandkids now and then, but a whole room full of three-year-olds? No, thank you. Not for me. I heard someone say that anybody can sing in the choir. Well, I always like to sing. I like to worship with music. But my wife told me that I'm tone deaf, so I guess joining the choir is not a good option for me. I thought about going into ministry work, into the missions, but I don't see how I can go to the mission fields. My wife has so many medical problems now that I can't even consider moving across town, let alone to another country. And learn another language? I have enough trouble with English. You all probably think I'm just making up excuses. Well, I'm not. I'm telling it like it is. Trust me, I have the want. I feel the need to serve, do something, but what am I equipped to do? Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I served in the military as a machinist. When I come out, I opened this little machine shop and built it up into a family business. I did all right. I made enough money to raise my kids, have a nice home, retire. Well, almost. But what can these old calloused hands do now? I mean, I have arthritis in the wrists. My back is tired from the long years of standing behind a milling machine. And my hearing isn't what it used to be. In all honesty, my life's been no shining example of living by God's principles. Irma and I fought constantly the first 7 or 8 years of our marriage. I made so many mistakes early on. I put us in terrible debt. Oh, the long days and nights that we worked to try to make the business work. It put a terrible strain on our marriage. And the worry, we left with our kids. They were afraid that their mother and I would end up in divorce. Lord, I feel so inadequate. I believe in you. And I believe you've forgiven me. I want to serve you, but what do I have to offer?
Well, I don't know about you, but I know in me, I connect with much of what he said. And today we're going to see how each one of us can be equipped. Each one of us can be clearly taught to uniquely serve. Serving in the flow of grace. Serving in the flow of grace. If you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, we're going to talk today about equipping. And at Black Hawk, we define equipping as clearly taught to uniquely serve. And the idea is that each of us has this flow of grace flowing through us, the Spirit of Christ flowing through us. And a good picture of flow is the Mississippi River. The Mississippi River gets its name, it's the father of rivers, it's a North American Indian term. And its source, it has a source, is Lake Itasca. And it has an inlet, and that's a stream, little stream. And then there's this flow in the river. And it serves as home to 12 million people in the 125 counties that border it. It serves home to 241 fish species. The Mississippi River is home to 45 amphibians, 50 mammals, and 40% of the nation's migratory birds. But you know what the Mississippi River also has? Is an outlet. It builds up this flow, and it outlets it into the Gulf of Mexico at a rate of 613,000 cubic feet per second. It's like if this whole room were an aquarium, it would be more than that flowing from the Mississippi River to the Gulf of Mexico per second. But there's a problem. In order to profit from the flow of that river, man has built dams and locks to try to profit himself from his own little reservoir in that flow. And according to the EPA, that is what's contributed to this flooding, this abnormal flooding in your and my lifetime that we've seen of the Mississippi River by people building dams and locks trying to profit from the river. And that's contributed to the billions of dollars of damage and the loss of life from the recent flooding. Now compare this flow of the Mississippi River to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the lowest body of water on earth, nearly 1/4 mile below sea level. And water from the Jordan River flows in it, but because the Dead Sea is lower than anything around it, no water can drain out. The Dead Sea has no outlet. Consequently, it has no life. Any fish flowing in from the Jordan River to the Dead Sea instantly die. And Scripture is really clear that you and I are called to serve. And so we got to ask, am I building a dam in the flow of Christ's grace through me? Or am I taking the teaching and the gifts of Christ for my benefit only, building my own little reservoir, building a dam in the flow, or am I allowing it to flow through me to serve others? The only way to know the answer is to determine if I have a visible outlet. Am I equipped? Am I clearly taught to uniquely serve? First, let's look at what it is. Turn to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 if you haven't already. And I just want to point out that 11 through 16 is one sentence in the Greek. One sentence. So I'm lifting the two verses out of one sentence, 11 through 16. And here's what it says. And he gave, Christ, gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, that's believers, that's you and me, for the work of service, King James says ministry, service and ministry are the same thing, to the building up of the body of Christ. He, Christ, equipping you and me. Service, flow, building up the body. Jesus said that anyone who believes in him will have streams of living water flow from within him. Grace from the Spirit of Christ flows to each of us in a unique package in order to flow out in the form of ministry. The Apostle John refers to it as the river of life, equipping, clearly taught to uniquely serve. The Greek word is katatismos. It means a setting of the bones in a medical term, like a restoration of your bones. In fishing, it means mending the nets. There's this restoration concept of it. And we're going to hang everything on this river concept. So if you want to write this down, we're going to talk about the river of grace and what life in that flow of the river of grace is. And every river has a source. And in the river of grace, the source is Christ. In the river of grace, write that down, the source is Christ. In the river of grace, the source is Christ. Ephesians 4:7 says, He gives. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And look at that, to each one of us. Every single one of us has this flow. It's for anyone and everyone. Everyone's a piece in the puzzle. The inlet is my full surrender to him. Ephesians 4:2 says, in all humility, in a teachable spirit, with a humble heart, fully surrendering my mind, will, emotions, and spirit to him, I become equipped. And the inlet is the full surrender to become equipped for the flow. And the flow is serving others. Letting it flow through me, letting the gifts of Christ just flow through me to serve others. And a funny thing happens in the flow of a river, there's an outlet, and that's where I build up. I build up the body of Christ. Just like the Mississippi builds water into the Gulf of Mexico, I build up the body of Christ, and others are equipped to serve to build up. And others become equipped to serve to build up. And it's a multiplication. Build up is a construction term used by Paul. He uses it 15 times. So let's just say we're going to build a condominium development along the Mississippi River. That's what apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, that's how I'm going to apply that here. So if we're going to build a community, a condominium complex along the Mississippi River, let's say along this river of life, the river of Christ, of grace, where Christ is a source, we're going to send somebody out, and he's going to kind of lay the foundation for us. That's an apostle. That's what an apostle was to the church. Technically, it's the 12 plus Paul. Technically, it's the 12 plus Paul. And they would go out with the message. They witnessed Christ's resurrection. They were called by Christ. And they'd go share the message and lay a foundation. So they'd go get our property and they'd lay that foundation. And they proclaimed through signs and wonders that they are who they said they were. Today, you know, that's probably a church planner. This church was planted. Tom Younger, who I got to have breakfast with before he died, Tom Younger sent 7 couples to have church in a trailer years ago to start Black Hawk. And Tom Younger started 12 or 13 churches in this community because he sent. He sent in apostle theme, in apostle fashion, he sent families to go build on this message of Christ. Well, second, we have a prophet, and a prophet would proclaim the word of God. Proclaim the word of God. He'd be like our general contractor. He'd let everybody know what this is all about. Here's where we're headed. Here's the spirit of what we're doing. Today, a prophet would be like, in our service, it would be Bill Archer or Karen Beck. They know the word and they proclaim the word where they go and it just flows into their conversations. Well, third, we need an evangelist if we're going to build this condominium community along the river of life. And we need somebody to go tell everybody to come buy these units. Come live here. And that's what an evangelist did in the church. It's only used 3 times in Scripture. So it's difficult to know, but scholars sort of come together in these 2 things, that an evangelist would go tell non-believers, come. Come be residents. An evangelist would also say to the residents or the believers, hey, go tell your friends. So he teaches, inspires, and he models, and he equips believers to be evangelists. Evangelists here would be Dave Walters or Mark Rhodes and many, many others. Fourth, we need somebody to kind of manage this community on the River of Grace. And that's a pastor-teacher. Actually, those two are one. You'll see that it says some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and then it says some as pastors and teachers. They're together. A pastor comes from the word that means shepherd, and his main function is to teach. So it's really teaching pastor. It's one. Another way to see that in the original Greek, and, it says teacher and pastor and teacher, and means that is, in many cases. The word kai in the Greek is transliterated and. It also means that is at times. So it could be shepherd or pastor, that is a teacher. And today there's like 10 of us around here. And then there's many, many more that don't have that title who live that out. You know, I told Kelly one night that church is like a pickup game of basketball that you play during the week. That if you came to the gym, how many people could play at one time? One court. It's not a trick question. How many could play basketball one time on one court? 10. So if 25 guys come and you only got a couple hours to play, it becomes kind of awkward. Not everybody plays. But God's model for the church is that everybody plays. Everybody plays. And these five categories, which really are four, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teaching pastors, they're not neat and tidy boxes. Just like a guard sometimes plays forward. Just like a plumbing contractor, sometimes your heating contractor, there's tremendous overlap. In fact, Paul writes to Timothy, and Paul refers to himself as an apostle, as a teacher, as a herald, or an evangelist. Prophets and teachers are lumped together in Acts 13. And all of the above, here's the main idea, is for equipping. For equipping the saints, you and me, for equipping believers to minister, to serve, and to let that river flow through us. The great commandment, Jesus said, is to love God and to love others. To love God and to love others, agape in the Greek, love, to serve self-sacrificially God and to serve self-sacrificially others. Hard Rock Cafe sums it up in their slogan and their mission, love all, serve all. And there's this river of grace, and Christ is the source. Jesus says, I will build my church. The inlet is my full surrender to him, being equipped. The flow is serving others, and the outlet is building them up so they'll build others up, building up the body of Christ in breadth and depth, evangelism and discipleship. Well, now that we've seen what it is, let's look at how we've missed it. Really, what we've done is we built a dam in the flow. Each one of us, in some fashion, builds a dam in this flow. And one way we've done that is we've said the source isn't Christ, it's the clergy. It's Kelly. Maybe it's Mitch or it's Steve. And we think that they're the source. Oh, better preach a good sermon today. And we just forget that the whole source of this is Christ. That I prayed and I studied the word, and Kelly prays and studies the word, and Christ is working through us. And it's not about us at all. And many people have looked at the church and they've created this hierarchy. It's finally only took the second century after Christ ascended for a hierarchy to develop in the church, for the priesthood of all believers to be destroyed. And many of us have seen ministry in church as for few, not for all. And that's wrong. We're building a dam in the flow. And it was a problem with the original apostles. They thought they were getting in on this new pyramid marketing deal. And they said, Jesus, you know, what's in it for us? And he says, listen, anyone can lead. All you got to do is serve, Luke 22, 26. And so it's not about capture and control. It's not about, Kelly, you better fill these seats up. Kelly, you better give a good message. Kelly, you better do this about that. It's about equipping you and me and releasing to serve. And we dam that inlet by pride. And believers come into church with false expectations. Teach me, marry me, bury me, fix my wife, do something for my kids, cast stuff out of me. And it's not about that at all. Because when that happens, there's no flow, no one serves, and there's no outlet. The body of Christ is not built up because I just want to take this flow of grace and keep it to myself and build my own reservoir. And that starts looking like the Dead Sea. When the kingdom is not equipped to serve, to build up the church, it's because the church, the universal church, is not equipped to serve, to build up. The universal church is not equipped to serve, to build up, because the local church is not equipped to serve, to build up. The local church is not equipped to serve, to build up, because you and I, as individual believers, are not equipped to serve, to build up. Sunday attendance alone is not ministry. See, other 167 hours a week. On Memorial Day, I decided I would serve Susan. And so we planted all these trees, and Megan's going to water them this summer, but I went ahead and kind of established a template for it, and I'm watering these 20-some trees. And then we decided we're going to clean the garage, and we're going to reorganize the garage. I mean the big-time cleaning, not to sweep it out, but the big-time cleaning, reorganize. And then we went into this other garage that we have, and we started doing a little bit there. Decided that at one point, you know, at this time, we'll finally quit, and we will go eat, and then we'll come home. Well, we came home, I went to bed. As my head was hitting the pillow, I thought about this. Trees are going to need watered again. Garage is going to get dirty again. It's going to need reorganized again. And so is it Groundhog Day, or is this flow, this continual flow in the mind and the heart of God? The flow of grace. The source is Christ, not the clergy. The flow is that we serve. Anyone can serve. The inlet is my teachable spirit. The flow is I serve others. It's the priesthood of all believers. Revelation 1:6 sums up this theme that's all throughout the Bible. If you believe in Christ, he's calling you as a unique individual to serve others. And it says that that we're a kingdom of priests designed to serve. We're a kingdom of priests designed to serve, not the clergy. Every servant is unique, painting on the canvas of the hearts of those he serves. We're an organism where every cell contributes in a live organism. We're living, we're vibrant. We're not an organization, a flat organizational chart. And it all hinges on the flow of Christ's grace. Leading is the flow of his influence. Giving is the flow of his gifts. Apostleship is the flow of his church. Prophecy is the flow of his word. Evangelizing is the flow of his heart. Pastoring is the flow of the good shepherd. Teaching is the flow of his wisdom. Healing is the flow of his life. Helps is the flow of his hands. Administration is the flow of his order. Hospitality is the flow of his provision. Serving is the flow of his love. It's all based on the flow. And the outlet is that I build others up. I build the body of Christ because of his flow through me. He builds his church. It's about equipping and releasing. Lori Doden told me, you know, we're built up because the other 167 hours a week, we're supposed to be getting beat up. Now that we've seen what it is and how we've missed it, let's look at how we can more carefully embrace it. And I call it, we need to open the floodgate. We need to open the floodgate in our lives. God has designed you and me uniquely. It's a unique flow of grace. And I got an acronym I want you to write down, G-A-T-E. So write them in vertical so you can put the word after it. G-A-T-E. We need to open the floodgate of our lives. And this changed my life. The G is for gifts, spiritual gifts. They're in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. We've offered a curriculum here called Network, where you can test and see how God's wired you up. If you take that test, you'll find that you'll score in every category, except I didn't score in working with your hands. And that shows you that you have them all, that the Spirit of Christ is at work in you in a very unique package. But you'll see that some kind of float to the top, and that you're designed uniquely with spiritual gifts. Then there's abilities. Those are skills, something you've learned. A is abilities, skill. For me, it's an auctioneer. I didn't grow up. I wasn't born an auctioneer. It's not what was in the newspaper when I was born, although my dad probably would have wanted it that way. But I was trained. I learned that skill, and I have that ability today, all because I trained and I learned the skill. Then there's T, talents. Talents. God has kind of given you a talent that's unique. Corbin's would be music. He had to develop it, but there's something there that's unique to him that's not in all people. For me, I don't know what it would be, but the only thing I could think of that has been there that I can't think it's ever not been there has been my desire to connect with people. I connect at the heart level or the soul level. I emotionally connect. In fact, I got a saying, we're so much alike. I say it again and again and again. And then the E is experiences. Experiences. Each one of us has a different journey, a different story, and our experiences are unique. So the question is, and I found that my mistakes, not my achievements, have been the best assets for ministry. So the question is, am I going to build a dam in the flow and use these for me, or am I going to release them and open the floodgate for the kingdom? This changed my life. I changed the mission of my business, of Cruise International, to serve God and serve others. And I made sure everybody knew it. They all knew we're in the auction business. They all knew we're selling collector cars all over the world. But I wanted my people to know it's serve God and serve others. And I didn't think about this until I was about ready to give the message. And you know what? That radically changed my life. It all started when I lost everything and I got on my knees on July 1st, 1992 and I said, God, I'm giving it all to you. I've held it back. I've white-knuckled it. And it's a funny thing. When you open your hands, when you open the hands of your heart, because that's where it all starts, on that inlet, he's the source. I was damming it up. I was trying to build my own kingdom on earth. And when I quit white-knuckling and opened my hands, it was so easy for him to put it in and it was so easy to send it out. And I didn't just do that with money. I did it with life. I opened the floodgate. For many reasons, that's why I'm here today, because I believe the church is the hope of the world. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to this flow of grace in the river of life. Do it. You can change the world. The hope is the church is the hope of the world. And I felt so countercultural at times. But I got to tell you, the world flocked to that in a business. They flocked to a company who would serve. All of life provides the opportunity to serve. That's the idea. Relationships allow you to have that flow of love to your wife, to your parents, to your children and your parents and your friends. My grandfather says that your role as a parent is to equip. It's to get yourself out of a job. It's that equip and release thing. In the workplace, it's the flow of mission through our peers, through our employees, through management. In economy, it's the flow. It's the flow in the economy of goods and services. Congress, the president, the Federal Reserve are doing everything they can to equip us to have the flow of goods and services, of money supply. And in the church, it's the flow of grace. It's the flow of Christ in us to build up the body, both in breadth and depth, evangelizing and discipling. So many times I've asked people, do you use your gate? Do you use your gifts, abilities, talents, and experiences in your church? And they act like I'm asking them a foreign question. But in the church, the hope of the world, our mission here at Blackhawk is to help seekers, both saved and searching, find and follow Christ. This is not a holy huddle, but this is a flow of grace. And I want to ask you today, every single person here, would you please consider opening that floodgate and using your gate here, out there too, but here intentionally. If your gift, I want to bring them on the screen, the emails addresses. If your gift is like organization and administration or a technical computer type gift, we could use you in operations. And you can email Doug Crane at dcrane@blackhawkministries.org. If your gift is singing or acting or camera or anything to do with what happens on a Sunday morning in the technical arena, email Eric Hall. If you're good at teaching, or you love kids, or you love adults, or you want to help the education around here, spiritual formation, you can email Greg Deason. We want every single person here to email somebody. That's what I'm asking you to do. If you want, if you like evangelism and outreach, and you want to take cool trips all over the world, and you want to be part of neat concerts and enjoy tropical clothing, evangelism and outreach, that's me. And anything else, if you can't figure it out, if you say, I can't figure it out, Mitch's message didn't help me figure it out, the flow wasn't there, please email Kelly. We got to ask, have I built a dam in the flow? Am I making it just for me? Look at Ephesians 4:18. This is what happened to me. Is it happening to you? Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them, it kind of tells it like it is. Because of the hardness of their heart, we build a dam. A dam's hard, it's solid. And that's what we do. We stop the flow. We stop the flow. We stop the inlet. So I have a little part there in your bulletin where you can put in today. Today I commit. Today I fully surrender. I'm going to be clearly taught and I'm going to uniquely serve to build up in this capacity. I know God's been telling me this. I know he's given me that gate to open and to give it to others and to give it to him and to quit trying to hoard these gifts and get built up. Woman, I know anybody can do this. A woman I know in County Line Church of God who's done this with her life. She's had absolutely nothing. She was very poor her whole life. But she gave 50-some years to teaching children at County Line Church of God. And she not only taught me, she taught my dad, she taught my grandfather, she taught two of my daughters. She knew about the flow. of grace. Her name's Fern Saltzman, and Fern has since passed away, but we named a new wing after her, a new educational wing, because of that flow of grace. Anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. The flow of grace. Little Henrietta reminds me. Little Henrietta was 12 years old, and she was decided she would teach Sunday school. She answered the call, and she never looked back. And she grew in her teaching abilities and in her skills, and she got educated. And in 1928, Henrietta had a call that changed her life. She was asked to become head of children's, director of children's ministries at First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood, California. And Henrietta, it was a pretty thriving deal for her. There were 450 students when she started. Within 2 years, 4,500 students were coming to First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood. Henrietta started developing a curriculum. She wanted to bring the Bible to life for these kids. And she started to develop a curriculum. And people all over the world said, "We need that. Can we have a copy of what you have?" And she founded Gospel Light Publications. And Henrietta is Dr. Henrietta Mears, who is given credit by Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, for inspiring him in the equipping of people. 500,000 volunteers now in Campus Crusade for Christ to bring the gospel to 3 billion people in his lifetime. Billy Graham has credited Henrietta Mears. The chaplain of the United States Senate in the past has credited Henrietta Mears. Henrietta Mears and Fern Saltzman, who understand the flow of grace. The source is Christ. The inlet is my full surrender, my teachable, humble heart, so I can be equipped. The outlet is that I serve. The flow is that I serve, and the outlet is that I build up others, building up the body of Christ. Actually, he does it through me. Why? Why? Because we reveal the character and the presence of our source, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus the apostle, Hebrews 3:1. Jesus the prophet, Mark 6:4. Jesus the evangelist, Mark 1:15. Jesus the teacher, John 13:13. Jesus the good shepherd, John 10:11. Jesus the servant, Mark 10:43 through 45. Jesus said, "You know what? I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many." Equipping in this flow of grace is the model of God the Father. Helper is used for him all throughout the Old Testament. Helper. It's the model of the Son. Philippians 2:5 through 7. There is no greater chasm that's been bridged than that of God coming down to be a servant and dying on a cross in obedience. Philippians 2:5 through 7. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. It's called kenosis. Emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, of a bond servant. The Holy Spirit. Equipping is the form of the Holy Spirit. His name is actually Paraclete in the Greek. It means to come alongside. And that means that it's the model for you and me. If equipping's the model of God, the Father, if equipping's the model of the Son, and equipping's the model of the Spirit, then equipping is the model for you and me. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. What kind of name, what kind of description do you think is on the name of the business card of the biblical characters most frequently? What title? Abraham's servant. Isaac's servant. Jacob, your servant. Joseph, servant of the captain guard. Moses, servant of the Lord. Joshua, servant. My servant David. O Lord, your servant, says Nehemiah. God says, my servant Job, my servant Isaiah. Darius calls Daniel servant of the living God. You are my servant, Zerubbabel. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. Paul says, a servant of Christ Jesus. James, a servant of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ. Would you put servant by your name on your business card? Jim Bradley told me that it's Black Hawk Ministries, and I got Jim Bradley Ministries, and you got Mitch Cruz Ministries, and there's Kelly Bird Ministries, and each one of us could put ministry or servant behind our name. And it dawned on me that if I'm not serving God and others, then I'm serving me. I've built a dam. Jesus says no one can serve two masters. Rick Warren says you know you're a servant by how you feel when you're treated like one. You know your service, a servant, by how you feel when you're treated like one. He says, we don't even want to call ourselves servants anymore. We're all servant leaders. Everyone wants to serve God, but only in an advisory role. Everyone wants to serve God, but only in an advisory role. Can you imagine a soldier who does not defend, a singer who does not sing, a writer who does not write? Can you imagine a fully surrendered follower of Christ who does not serve? What's the fruit of an apple tree? Say it. Apple. What's the fruit of an orange tree? Orange. What's the fruit of a cherry tree? Cherry. Well, Dave Walters told me this week, no. The fruit of an apple tree is another apple tree. The fruit of an orange tree is another orange tree. The fruit of a cherry tree is another cherry tree. Equip to serve to build up others who equip to serve to build up others. It's a flow. It's a flow. I've asked Corbin and Josh to come up. Jesus said that if you believe in me, streams of living water will flow from your heart, the core of your being. Bob Purdy told me this week that water is purest when it's in motion. And so are we when we allow the flow of the river of grace, Christ in us, to flow. The source is Christ. The inlet is my teachable heart, my fully surrendered heart that equips me. The flow is serving, opening that floodgate, that G-A-T-E, open that floodgate to not keep it for myself, but to give it to others and to give it to God. It changed my life. And the outlet to build up, to let Christ through me, through that flow, build up the body of Christ. It's the river of life. It's the river of grace. It's funny, you know, the book ends, the Bible ends with two choices. Revelation 22:1 says a river of life that flows from Christ. And in Revelation 20:15, it says a lake of fire. It's up to you. It's up to you. A river of life or the lake of fire. Don't build that reservoir. Let it flow through you. Josh told me this week, he wrote in his journal, success comes from not seeking significance and fame, right? It comes in serving others and serving God.